This is the Soccer Nomad Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Long. You can follow me on Twitter at AustinLong1974. And make sure to check out the Soccer Nomad blog at soccernomad.wordpress.com. Finally, subscribe to the podcast on Podomatic or on iTunes. Just search Soccer Nomad. I appreciate all feedback, so please leave a rating and review. For this episode, I'm watching Der Klassiker with Mia San Atlanta. Bayern Munich against Borussia Dortmund is one of the big games on the Bundesliga calendar, and I can't wait to watch the match. Heather and Ryan and the leaders of Mia San Atlanta were kind enough to come on the Soccer Nomad podcast towards the end of 2015. I've watched several matches with them and looking forward to catching up with them. So getting ready for this match, I did a little research into Bundesliga history. From 1984-85 until 1989-90, Bayern Munich won 5 of 6 titles. Since 1990, only 4 clubs other than Bayern and Dortmund have won the German championship. During this period, Bayern have won 12 Bundesliga titles and Dortmund 5. It has been during this period that the rivalry has intensified. The first phase of the rivalry was between 1994 and 1998, where Dortmund won 2 Bundesliga titles and won the UEFA Champions League at Bayern's home ground. If you haven't seen highlights of the 1997 final, find it on YouTube. Great performances against the defending champions Juventus. Dortmund had some financial problems following that cycle, so the next phase started in 2010, resulting in 5 consecutive wins for Dortmund. After 2 championships for Dortmund, the teams met in the 2013 Champions League final, won by Bayern in a very exciting match at Wembley, which helped secure the treble for the Bavarians. I also learned a couple other things. Bayern is German for Bavaria. The diagonal pattern on their crest is from the Bavarian coat of arms, and Bayern's 4 stars over their crest are for league titles. It's an interesting way they calculate. It's 1 star for 4 titles, 2 stars for 8, 3 stars for 10, and then 4 stars for more than 20 league titles. Borussia Dortmund was founded in 1909, named for the favorite beer, and Ballspielverein translates into ball game, hence Ballspielverein Borussia 09 Dortmund. Their yellow jerseys come from the overalls worn by Workmen supporters, and black is a tribute to its minor fans. Okay, let's look ahead to the match. I watched the second half of this match with Mia San ATL as Dortmund won 1-0 at home. That was last fall. This was Bayern's only loss of the season until just a couple of days ago as they've pulled away at the top of the Bundesliga. After this match, the Bavarians host Real Madrid in a titanic clash in the Champions League quarterfinals. Dortmund crushed Hamburg 3-0 midweek. Dortmund are in fourth place, one point behind Hoffenheim, and another 4 points behind Red Bull Leipzig. Monaco travels to Dortmund for a highly anticipated match in the Champions League next week as well. So I'm going to head into Der Biergarten, find the guys from Mia San ATL, and chat with them ahead of the big match. So I'm joined by John and Heather, who are the leaders of Mia San ATL. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
So I guess tell listeners, since the last time you've been on, a little bit what's been going on with the group and maybe what's coming up.
Wow, since the last time, we have grown exponentially. We're up to almost 175 members now. From, I think, the last time we talked, we may have had 50. Obviously, the team coming to Charlotte for ICC brought a lot of awareness, so we were able to increase our membership. It was great. We had a good time. A lot of us went. It was hot, but
there wasn't much shade.
But Bayern did an excellent job. There were all kinds of organized events. They brought a bunch of Bayern legends. They opened practice, so we were able to kind of interact with some of the players. We got a lot of autographs. Obviously, it being during the summer, we were sort of disappointed because a lot of the first team didn't come.
Because the Euros
were going on. So anybody that was playing in Euros or, you know, obviously wasn't there. But that being said, the guys that did come were extremely gracious, signed a ton of autographs, and seemed to enjoy doing it. So that was really cool to have that really close experience with the team.
Yeah, I went and saw Manchester United when they came in 2003. That was one of their first trips over here since, I guess, way back in the 50s or 60s or something. But, yeah, the pre-game, the practice beforehand, I tell people that if you can work that into your package,
yes,
that's actually the best part. Do you really – so I'm watching where were we? I want to say we were at Rutgers. I don't remember where we were.
Yeah.
But they had all – they had the starting 11 inside the 18 playing 5-on-5, and these guys are ridiculous how good they are.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And I think, like, you watch the game, you're like, oh, that was a good move, but you don't realize how good their touch is, how quickly they can touch the ball. Anyway, it's awesome that you guys get to go there, and you know, I know, you know, Manchester United's coming back, and I think these trips are very important. Like, the Spurs guys are super excited because not only are Spurs coming, but they're coming to Nashville. And that's super close. Relatively close for them. And,
well, it's like us going to Charlotte. I mean, that was just an easy trip to make, and it was great.
Now we're very hopeful, obviously, with Mercedes-Benz opening.
Yes.
You know, and Bayern is kind of, you know, they came for the MLS All-Star game right after the World Cup, so they've kind of started in every other year. We're hoping that's the trend. So we are very optimistic that 2018 brings them back to the States, and it just seems befitting that they would play in this beautiful new stadium with this beautiful new expansion team that's exciting, and there's so many fans here. We are hopeful because that would just be an awesome
experience.
And it
was great when they came to Charlotte. The Bayern New York office worked closely with the Charlotte fan club to plan these events and to get their input on – you know, venues and, you know, what was best for the people that were coming. So it was very exciting for them. And I thought it all worked out really great. We all had a really good time.
How many American Bayern Munich supporter groups would you say were there, if you know the number?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
There was a lot.
Yeah.
It was all they went to Chicago, Charlotte, and they went to
New York.
And New York. So it was all East Coast. So if you're on the West Coast, you had to come over.
Yeah.
So there was a lot. That's the most Bayern folks I've seen, other than obviously going to a game, that I've seen in one place at one time. I mean, it was really crazy how many people were there.
Yeah, it was a lot of Bayern people. I mean, Miasan Atlanta we had at least
50, I'd say, give or take.
Yeah, we had between 50 and 75 people there just from, you know, that we had made contact with. And
there's two fan clubs in Charlotte. D.C. brought a giant – D.C. travels really well. Yeah. They have a very large, very strong fan club in D.C., and they travel well. And they brought a huge, group of folks and all up the East Coast.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know one of the things that has happened since, you know, the last time we officially chatted. So we're in Deer Beer Garden. Why don't you talk about that real quick?
Yes. After last season, Ryan, the VP, was here having lunch or something.
Dinner, I think.
Dinner, and ran into Wolfgang, who is the proprietor of the beer garden, and they got to talking, and Wolfgang just decided that we had to move here, and so it was a hard decision, I will say, just because we felt so at home at the Elder Tree, and we were perfectly happy there. But being a German fan club, and you know, having quite a few Germans in our club, it just made the most sense for us to move over here and have the German beer and the German food, and you know, the atmosphere. And they have been extremely welcoming to us. They open just for us on Saturday mornings at 9:30. They don't usually open till noon. And so a lot of times, you know, it's, you know, we're the only ones in here, but they treat us like the place is full. So they've been really good to us. So.
Awesome. I know another thing you guys are doing, you guys are more involved with ATL Champions League this year.
Yes.
You know, I've been seeing that pushed out on social media. Talk about the team and how people can donate and all that.
Heaven help us all. Yes, we are very proud to be in the Atlanta Champions League this year. It's our first team, the first time that fan club is actually, as a group, is taking part in it. So we're going to be probably a little raw, wet behind the ears. But, you know, we're having fun, really focusing on the fundraising piece of it. I don't know that we have any illusions of winning, but we're going to have a good time and hopefully meet some people. We went a couple years ago just to support. And met a ton of great people, and instantly, as a very, you know, in the infant stages of our fan club, realized this is something we want to be widely involved in. And so we were able to get in on the fundraising piece. Now we're able to get in on both. And so we're really trying to make a good showing, both from a football and financial perspective, and show we're serious about.
Mostly from the financial, because we don't have, like you said, we
not
don't
as
have
young
any
as I used to be, Austin. I can only do so much for others. So.
Playing,
we have fun. It's all for fun. It's all for charity. It's a great time. Graciously, Der Beer Garden is going to sponsor the team, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So we're really excited and looking forward to it, and glad we can be a part of it.
Yeah. Are you guys doing anything like special fundraisers or raffles? Anything that you can mention?
We are. I contacted the New York office, and they are sending us some stuff to raffle off. So all the proceeds for that will go directly to Soccer in the Streets for our team. They are sending us a Ribery jersey,
a scarf,
and a Javi Martinez autograph to raffle off. So
we're going to open that up and multiple more chances to win. Yeah. So buy more tickets and hopefully.
Are you guys doing an event or just doing game day watch parties?
We're not going to do a special event for like the raffle or that kind of thing. We're going to open the raffle up as soon as I have the stuff. I just found out they were going to send it to me on Wednesday. So as soon as I have it in my hand, we'll get the raffle going. I think we're going to go for several weeks and do a big deal for the Leipzig game, which is May 13th.
So the weekend before.
Right. Yeah. And that's when we'll draw the winner. So Leipzig's going to be a big game for us anyway. So we're going to kind of party it up there and draw our raffle winner there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's really good to hear. You know, I played with the Madridistas last year and had a good time. I think it's, like you said, it's fun and you just meet all these people. Right. You know,
and they're a great group, too.
Yeah. They are, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stepped on the lead there. Sorry. Yeah, we're doing a watch party this week and next upcoming for Champions League. So we one of the groups we actually met a couple years ago when we just came out to support was the Madridistas. Fantastic. We saw them at SoccerCon where we had a great time and got to connect with those guys again. And we just had already been talking about it. And we put the finishing touches on it. And so the first leg will be at the Allianz, so we'll be watching it here at De Beer Garden, and then the return leg at their home pub, which is Old Blind Dog in Brookhaven. Yes. So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really glad that that's starting to kind of happen because I'm a big – like, so, you know, the Manchester United group that meets at Fado Midtown, we do a home and away with Liverpool.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been some of my best, like, fan experiences in my entire life. The give and take and the banter and the whatnot. So I'm really glad that's starting to happen. Just touching on SoccerCon real quick, you know, you guys came and I really appreciate having a table. And it was great seeing your jerseys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We plan on doing it even bigger next year.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Foreshadowing here.
We've talked all about it, how we're going
to
do it.
Yeah, I need to get our feet wet and kind of see what we're walking into. But now that we know, you know, we've got battle plans.
Yeah. So.
The one thing that was really, besides all your jerseys, which, of course, I neglected my actual SoccerCon duties to go. But on the front of your table, you had the Mia San ATF, the 100 scarf.
Yes.
And just circling back to the support, the growth of not only your supporters group, but Bayern Munich in America, talk about that real quick.
Bayern has really poured a lot of effort into growing their fan base here in the U.S. And, you know, it's all done with the ICC and the office in New York and all that kind of thing. Just recently, I guess it was last summer or the beginning of this season, they rolled 100 official fan clubs in the U.S., and we were happy enough to be one of the very first ones. Not only were we one of the first official 100, I'm pretty sure we were probably one of the first like official 20.
We might
maybe.
when we first met, I think it was the fall of 2015. But yeah, there were not many of them, and you had you talked about then that you had a really good relationship with the U.S. office, and there's only a couple of you, and so that's just great to hear.
Yes.
I guess let's move on to the season thus far. You guys are going to win the league again. I know you talked about five in a row, which hasn't been done, so we can talk about that real quick. You know, in Champions League, I mean, Titanic is the word I used in my opening. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And sort of expectation for the rest of the season, maybe predictions on how everything's going to shake out.
Good Lord willing, the league is relatively wrapped up. We got a pretty secure lead despite the loss this past week, but I think we'll be okay. So, I think we're getting five in a row there. It's fantastic. I think the obviously two biggest hurdles left are the Pokal, which is the German DFB Cup. We play in the semifinals at the end of the month against Dortmund again.
Yep.
So I think they'll be playing a little bit fuller squad than we're going to see today. But that's okay. So that's exciting. Sets us up for at least another double. The big, obviously, ticket item is Champions League. I would be lying if I said I was uber thrilled at first that we pulled Real. But at the same time, if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. And, you know, there was a Bayern team several Champions League back that made their way to the finals. Against Inter, and most people who are probably more knowledgeable than I would tell you that Bayern squad greatly benefited from the draw and probably weren't properly prepared. And interestingly, as we've discussed, the year we won the treble, in 2013, we were tested very severely in the league and in the Champions League. And I think, you know, sharpening your sword to that level prepared us to reach those heights. So it doesn't, you know, at first it's like, oh, you wish you could draw, I'm not going to even say a club because I don't want to, anybody yeah. who's listening, don't want to, you know, yeah. demean anyone's club in an unintended way. But, you know, let's sharpen our sword and see what we're made of. And if we're good enough, we'll go through. And if we're not, then, you know, we shouldn't go through.
Yeah, we shouldn't go through. But it should, I mean, most people agree that that game should have been the final.
It would have been more exciting as a final, yeah. but yeah. c'est la vie.
But it's okay.
Yeah, you look at the draw and, you know, Real Madrid against Bayern Munich is, I mean, yeah. it doesn't really get much better than that. But then you also have Barcelona Juve.
You do. Absolutely.
And then you have, for me, Monaco Dortmund, actually. It's sort of like the hipster, could be the most entertaining.
There's going to be some wide open play. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be some up and down. I was listening to Sirius XMFC, one of their shows, and one of their commentators made a similar assessment that if you have no rooting interest, pure neutral, and you just want to see on the go soccer, yeah. that's
your
matchup, because those guys are going to be flying. Whereas I think with Juve and Barcelona and with Real and us, you're going to see a little bit of feeling out. You know, these guys are going to be, you know, full yeah. throttle yeah. from the first whistle. So,
you know, you guys are big Xabi Alonso guys and this team. No. No.
It's coming in hot.
No, you know, since you guys have been starting, you know, you're in a real purple patch of success.
Yeah.
But you kind of look, you know, I was looking at the roster, and you can sort of see, you know, Philip Lahm's leaving, Xabi Alonso's leaving. You know, there's, you know, obviously Mueller's in his, like, prime,
yes.
and, you know, Lewandowski's in his prime. Sort of what your sense of this team, and maybe what's ahead in the next, say, 3 to 5 years? Is it sustainable? Is there huge turnover and start over where they had the lull where a team like Werder Bremen or Wolfsburg or Dortmund comes in? Sort of talk about that real quick.
One of the things that probably does not get a lot of play outside of Germany or Bayern fans is the return of Ole Onis. When Bayern really became accessible in the States as that kind of cresting was starting, he and Karl-Heinz Rummenigge were in charge and really built this behemoth that you're seeing today. For myself, as a fan, I was thrilled that he came back to the club because I think he gets it from a team-building perspective. It was an interesting article that, you know, there was talks of Philip Lahm becoming sporting director, and he politely declined. And there's also talks as that because he knows Uli Hoeneß is actually going to be making the decisions. So, but I think you're seeing, you know, we have Nicolas Sulla coming on next year from Offenheim. Sebastian Rudi's coming as well from Offenheim. Those are two German internationals. We've got younger players like Joshua Kimmich, who's probably going to hopefully step into the Philip Lahm role. I'm a big fan of his. I'm very hopeful for his future. You have a Thiago who's really, I will fully admit, I was kind of not on his bandwagon. I didn't think he could stay healthy, but I have really
this season
he has been sublime
yeah.
and really the mechanism that makes that club move. So if he can keep this form and keep his health, you really have a attacking fulcrum that's starting to really should be entering their prime years. Obviously, Robin and Ribery on the edges are getting a little bit older. They have 1 year contracts both. There's talk of Julian Brandt from Leverkusen perhaps coming over after next season. Very high on him. Another young German international. There's Douglas Costa still there. There's Kingsley Coman still there. There is youth now. Are they going to hit? I mean, you're filling big shoes, as my friend Randall likes to say. Those are big jerseys. Are you ready to wear that jersey? You know, only time will tell. But I do think, you know, especially with Uli being there, I feel good about roster building going forward
yeah.
and the next wave.
I think our future is bright. I mean, you kind of saw it, and perhaps it's not the best example because we did end up losing, but we played, you know, a lot of guys that don't see the field as much against Hoffenheim. And you know, you look at that roster on paper, and even though we were missing a bunch of our guys, you're like, wow, this is still very, very impressive. So.
And I don't think they're done. I mean, we're a couple years away, but they're one of the things that's always appealed to me about Bayern is that I am a very large fan growing up of De Mannschaft And there was always a lot of, you know, synchronicity there, a lot of Bayern players on and vice versa.
And it was important to Bayern to have German internationals.
And that seems to have become important again, not that I'm trying to be, you know, a statist or anything, but it's nice seeing the guys you cheer for in one kit wearing the other kit too. And you're,
as a fan, that's the best of both worlds, man.
Exactly. So we may not be done. Serge Gnabry. A name that's high on my list. He plays for Werder right now, I believe. He was in the Arsenal youth system. He played at the Olympics for Germany and
was
unstoppable.
Yeah.
So I'm a big, big fan of his. Very young. I see Julian Brandt on one side. I see Serge Gnabry on the other. And I see goals. Lots and lots of goals.
All right. Well, you mentioned kits, so let's wrap up on that.
Okay.
So John is wearing the Lederhosen kit.
He is.
From a couple years ago.
With his
Lederhosen. So, you know, I did a Bayern Munich post a couple months ago for the blog.
Yeah.
And
the
first great read.
Thank you. The first thing that comes to my mind is light blue and white is their first kit. And I was like, what? And it was good because a site called Museum of Jerseys did a post about how in the 90s, Bayern Munich started reintroducing, it started with like a navy blue kind of here and there.
Right.
Then they went to that sort of, royal blue at the beginning. Then there's the navy blue with the big red band sort of towards the end of the decade. But I was like, I had always assumed that they were all red, and that is clearly not the case. It was more white and maroon.
Yeah.
With a little black, a little light blue sprinkled in. It was super interesting. There's even the kit for my one thing 2 years ago, the red and
blue
royal
blue.
Yeah. I just assume that, you know, that was sort of, they took the something from the 90s and sort of turned it on sign. But it turns out in like 1968, they had a kit that looked almost exactly like Barcelona's. I was like, what? So anyway, I learned that the all red strip that I sort of associate with the club was not introduced as the home shirt until like the 1970s, which I found super interesting. But the maroon, their third jersey, is it the white with the maroon trim this year, is amazing. I love it. And I like it even more now that I know that it harkens back to their history. But you brought a nice kit collection to SoccerCon. Sort of talk about maybe your favorite jerseys or your favorite memories real quick.
It's really your fault. So as my credit card bill is going up.
Yes.
You're going to get
every time he orders one, he now says, blame Austin.
Yeah, I've got three more actually en route because eBay has become that and classicfootballshirts.com have become my favorite websites. So you and I actually shared affection for one kit, which is the 2012 red and gold kit. That is of the kits that really, since I've, you know, really been a fan that could afford kits, that's my favorite. For a myriad of reasons. It was the Champions League kit. It was, you know, just gorgeous shirt. But, you know, it's so interesting to watch the evolution. We went a couple years ago to Munich, and we got to go to the museum, and they have on this wall.
At Allianz,
and they have this wall that's got just all the kits just lined up, and you're just like, it's just fascinating that the thoughts and, you know, the guys at Adidas is a part, small owner of the club, obviously, you know, they're invested both literally and figuratively, you know, it's always fun. This time of year is extra fun because, you know, the kit leagues start and it's, you know, I like this one, but what's coming next? And, you know, what are you going to buy? Are you going to buy this one and that one? And
thanks for a lot of good discussion. My favorite is the black and red. It was the Champions League jersey. From how many, 2 years ago?
That was the year we were the Club World Cup champions. So it was the year after the treble.
So 14.
Yeah.
2014. Yeah, the black with the red, season. With the one red stripe. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite. I think that looks good.
Yeah.
I tend to like the third jersey. The third jersey, for some reason, is always my favorite. So
talk about this. So this year the home is this all red. It's got the it's got a little bit of a collar this year with like a white placket, so it gives a little bit of contrast. It's got these horizontal bars that you have to. I mean, on TV you can't see it, but up close you can.
The big deal with Adidas was obviously the white vertical.
White, yeah, down the torso, which I like. But for me, it's a nice, solid kit. But I'm interested in your thoughts on this year's away. It's sort of black, charcoal, gray in a sort of diagonal fashion. So what do you think about those?
Didn't love that one.
I was hopeful. The orange is my favorite color. So when I saw the training kit, the training shirt, it's all orange, and I'm like,
bright orange.
I'm like, have mercy. This is going to be like, they've made this for me. And then you saw it come out, and the numbers are orange. So there's that. But yeah, I just, it's not my favorite.
So when I was, last summer, I'm looking at the kits for the upcoming season. This one was like interesting to me. I like the three tones of color. It's kind of subtle. It's not gradient. There's a very clear distinction. Right. What I cannot stand, and for the same reason, they did the same thing in the Manchester United kids, that solar red or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah.
And like, if they had done a charcoal, if they had even done a white, just whatever that color, it really annoys me. Because like the Manchester United ones last year was all black with sort of the maple leaf or the M or whatever across the chest. But literally, I was in the bar staring at people, and I still couldn't tell if the trim was red or orange. And it's right in front of me, and I still can't decide what it is. So it's solar red. For
next
me,
that year's home is pretty exciting. It's going to be it's going to harken back to the 70s a little, allegedly, has been released. But it's going to be the thin kind of white pinstripe on the red kit, like the more traditional red we're wearing now. And I think the early mock-ups I've seen of that are very exciting looking.
So similar to that one?
Yes, similar to that one. I think
of course, my picture's so small that I don't actually know the year, but yes, that's an interesting look. That's something that this takes us up to 1991, I think. But anyway, something we really haven't seen.
Very clean.
Yeah.
Very clean. So if that, I don't like anything. It's part of the reason I love all the German national jerseys. They're typically very clean, not too busy.
Yeah.
And so that appeals to me. Now, some people don't want that, but it appeals. Although if they brought this yellow one back, I'd probably buy it just because I don't know how many people have that color in their arsenal.
Well, very good. How can people find you guys on social media, all that good stuff?
You can find us on Facebook. You can just, we're Miasan Atlanta. We have a public page. You can find us on Twitter at Miasan ATL.
Can you spell that real quick?
Miasan ATL.
Perfect.
And same for Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know you guys do a lot of great posts, and you push stuff out, and you try to do a group picture, which I always look forward to on Monday, so we're seeing where you are and who was there. And, so today's picture obviously would be a big winner because, a lot of people do come.
Today's picture is a special picture.
Okay.
The New York office is started an initiative to welcome Bastian Schweinsteiger to the States. As everybody knows, playing for the Fire now. So we are all, he's got his Basti jersey on. Everybody's supposed to bring their Basti jerseys. We brought eight of them.
We have a few extra because I'm a rather large fan.
And we are going to take a picture showing our love for Basti. They're going to put together a whole digital scrapbook for him. We're going to record a message saying, welcome to the States, wish you luck at the Fire. And so today's picture is extra special.
Lederhosen and a Basti tribute.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for having me. I've watched the game a couple times with you guys now and seen each other at all kinds of events. And I just thanks for taking some time. And hopefully you guys get the points you need today. And then I'm really looking forward to win or lose the games against Real Madrid. I think that's super exciting. I think it's gonna be really interesting.
That's gonna be a fun game. Yeah.
Yes, we hope so.
Thanks again for joining us, and we'll get ready for the game.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Thanks, Austin.
On the way home after Der Klassiker, 4-1 win for Bayern Munich. Before the game, people asked me what I wanted to see, and I honestly, as a neutral, I just wanted to be entertained, and I was thoroughly entertained. What a game! Ribery scored super early, I think inside the first 5 minutes. And then Lewandowski scored again, so it was 2-0, very early inside the first 10 minutes or so. And it looked like they were cruising, and then the guy from Dortmund, Rafael Guerrero, I think is his name, hit an absolute screamer. If you have not seen it, find it on YouTube or highlights package or something. He absolutely smashed it in from the top of the box after a poor clearance from Bayern Munich. So at 2-1, Dortmund seemed to get back into it. And then Robin scored right after halftime on his left foot, shocker, and that was pretty much it. Lewandowski added a penalty maybe halfway through the second half to really seal it. To be honest, it was a great game, and there was a Polliner rep there, so he passed out free beer at halftime. So the second half was a little bit of a blur, I'll be honest. But what a game. I didn't see much from Pulisic. I was a little disappointed in that. But Dortmund were really overrun, then seemed to find their footing, and then just second half was one-way traffic, and Bayern Munich played awesome. So just a great day. Thanks to Mia San ATL for having everybody in there. Thanks to Dear Biergarten for the beer and the food. And just thanks to everyone for the atmosphere. There were a couple brave Dortmund fans there. Our waiter was actually wearing a Dortmund jersey. He wore that in the fall as well for the match last fall. And props to him. And then Chris Morgan showed up in a Dortmund shirt, and Sarah Palmer showed up in some Dortmund gear. So kudos to them for showing up. But it was a great crowd. I saw the Mia San ATL group take the picture for Schweinsteiger, so I'm interested to see what the finished product for that is from all of the U.S. Bayern supporter groups. But again, 4-1 for Bayern Munich. Just a great afternoon. Saw tons of people, whether they were for Bayern or Dortmund or just neutrals. It was a great afternoon. So this is the Soccer Nomad podcast. Again, find me on Podomatic or iTunes. Just search Soccer Nomad. Please leave a rating and review. You can follow me on Twitter at AustinLong1974. And check out the Soccer Nomad blog, soccernomad.wordpress.com. So I'm headed home, check in, and then off to watch Atlanta United tonight. So just thanks again to Mia San ATL, and we'll talk soon.